First Timothy chapter 2, we'll read verses 9 and verse 10. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Paul, in these verses, as plainly seen, speaks of women and the subject of clothing. The biblical principle is stated in verse 9, and then he enlarges upon and gives a summary of the instruction given in verse 9. We see the summary of that in verse 10. I want to speak this evening on the subject of dressed in the interest of godliness. Dressed in the interest of godliness. We take that thought from which becometh women professing godliness with good works. We want to look at each statement in verses 9 and verse 10, and we'll be looking at some other scriptures as well. But notice how we start here. In like manner also. Those words introduce a new subject or a new duty. But the subject or duty that is about to be stated is related in manner to the previous subject or duty. So he says, in like, which of course is the same, in the same manner. Manner speaks of the way that something should be done. So that very phrase, in like manner, conveys the idea of likewise. Our word, likewise. In verse 8, Paul stated the duty of men. He says that men pray everywhere. And then he went on to state the manner in which that duty was to be carried out. He says, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, to spread the hands toward heaven, of course, was indicative of prayer. And the manner in which that was to be done, the manner in which prayer was to be exercised, is indicated by the words, holy hands. Pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. He did not just say lifting up hands, but lifting up holy hands, which speaks of that which is undefiled, speaks of that which is set apart for God. This is important because what we're going to see in verse 9 is to be done in the same manner as what was stated in verse 8. So prayer is to be that which is undefiled, and it is, we are to pray being set apart for God. We see also that prayer was to be done without wrath. That is, without any evil passion, without any anger towards others. And it was also to be done without doubting. Without doubting. That is, it was to be done with reflection and thought. So we see prayer, the manner in which one was to pray, was he was to be separate from sin. He was to be set apart to God. He was not to have any evil passion within, nor anger toward others. And he was to do this with great reflection and thought. Now coming to verse 9, a different duty is spoken of. He's no longer speaking of prayer. He's speaking now to women, and he is speaking on the subject of dress or proper attire. But it is to, this duty is to be done or to be carried out in the same manner spoken of in verse 8. And this is very important that we realize this. In like manner also. Now, this duty of dressing, wearing attire, again, is to be carried out in holiness. That is, undefiled, pure, undefiled, separate from sin. Pure and set apart for God. And it is to be done without any anger towards others. And it is to be done with great reflection and thought. Now notice as we go on here in verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Think upon those words. Adorn themselves. Adorn themselves. The word adorn is the Greek word kosmeo, meaning to arrange or to put in order. And again, this is to be carried out in like manner of what was spoken in verse 8. That women adorn themselves. And we're applying this to, it applies to women and men. But he's addressing specifically women. And I believe there's a twofold reason for that, which we're not going to get into right now. But the word adorn means to arrange, to put in order. To better understand its meaning, the same word is translated garnish in Matthew 23 and verse 29. And it is translated trimmed in Matthew 25 and verse 7. So those two words, garnish and trimmed, both of those words convey the idea of to decorate or to beautify. And it's the very same word translated adorn here in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. So putting all that together, to adorn, to garnish, to trim, is something you do on purpose. You garnish a grave, you do that on purpose. You trim something, you do that on purpose. You adorn, you put on clothes, you do that on purpose. It's something that is not done on accident. It is done on purpose. And it is done with thought. It is done with thought. And again, which brings us back to verse 8. We see the manner of prayer is to be carried out with reflection and thought. And so it is when it comes to dress. When one dresses themselves, they are to reflect. They are to give thought to what they are putting on. So, to adorn, to garnish, to trim is something we do on purpose. It is something that we do with great thought. It is something we do not only on purpose, but we do it with a purpose, and we have an intent in doing so. So they are to adorn themselves. Now keep in mind, again, remember the manner in which this is to be done. And that was stated in verse 8. Now, why did Paul address the subject of clothing? Why did he address this subject? Well, there's several reasons. Number one, clothing does matter. Whether it matters to man or not, it does matter to God. It not only matters to God what we wear, it matters to God how we wear it. It matters to the Lord. And therefore, Paul speaks on the subject. That clothing matters to God is manifested in several places in Scripture, and we certainly don't have time to go to all of them, but the fact that it matters to God is manifested by what He commanded Moses in regards to the children of Israel meeting God at Mount Sinai. Now notice in the book of, keep a mark here in 1 Timothy, and the book of Exodus chapter 19, God is about to meet the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. There's going to be a meeting between God and the people. In Exodus 19, verse 10, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them." Again, keep in mind the manner in which this is to be done, lifting up holy hands. "Set them apart today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day." Now, for those who say, "Well, it doesn't matter how I dress going to church. God's just happy that I'm there." Well, here He told them specifically, wash your clothes. You're having a meeting with God, wash your clothes. Be clean. "And be ready against the third day, for the third day of the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Sinai." So they were to be sanctified, so He wanted His people to be clean in body, clean spiritually, but He also wanted them to be clean in dress when He met with them. And therefore He said, "Wash your clothes." In Exodus chapter 28... we'll not turn there, but God gave detailed and very explicit instructions for the making of the garments of the priest. He directed, He gave instruction concerning the color. He gave instruction concerning the fabric. He gave instruction concerning the design. He gave instruction concerning the pattern of the embroidery. He gave very explicit instruction. Why did He do that? Because it matters. Because it matters. It mattered what the priest wore. So the reason that He gave these instructions is because it does matter to God. So the reason that Paul addressed the subject of clothing is because it matters to God. Another reason is the clothing that we wear. And again, we must stress also and how we wear it, because you can wear the right clothing in the wrong way. A lot of guys have trouble knowing where their waist is, putting on their pants. Wearing pants is right clothing, but it's worn in the wrong way. So the clothing that we wear and how we wear it sends a message. And it may be a message that we don't want to send, but it sends a message. People cannot help but see your clothing. You can't help it. You cannot help but see how a person is dressed. You notice whether a person is sloppy or neat. You notice if a person dresses in a simple way or a glamorous way. And you certainly notice if a person dresses in a provocative way or a modest way. You cannot help but see clothing. And based upon what you see, a perception is formed on what we wear and how we wear it. So our clothing makes a statement. I believe clothing makes a statement of what we think of ourselves. I believe clothing makes a statement concerning our morality. When Adam and Eve sinned, they sewed fig leaves together to make them aprons. which prompted God to ask, "Hast thou eaten of the fig tree whereof I have commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Those fig leaves, what did they reveal? They revealed that they were sinners and rebels against God. They revealed that they had eaten of the forbidden tree. Their clothes made a statement. Their clothes testified, "We are guilty, we have sinned, we have rebelled against God." Clothes make a statement. That's why when you go to work, you dress a certain way. Clothes make a statement. Clothing does not make one right with God. It does not guarantee spirituality. That is a wrong concept that people have. If someone dresses right, they must be right with God. Not necessarily. I've known a lot of people dress right, and believe me, they're far from right with God. And it certainly does not guarantee spirituality. But that being said, many reveal by their clothing that they are rebels against God. They reveal by their clothing that they are not right with God. People send a message by what they wear and how they wear it. And God's people ought to want to dress in such a way that says, "I love the Lord." That's how we ought to want to dress. Where it sends forth a statement, "I love the Lord and I am committed to the Lord." Because again, our clothes do make a statement. The harlot was known by her distinctive dress in Proverbs 7 and verse 10. It refers to the attire of a harlot. Obviously, her attire, what she wore and how she wore it, was different than a lady. The attire of a harlot made a statement. What statement did it make? It made the statement, "I am available." That was the statement made by the attire of the harlot. The statement made was, "I am a harlot." But a statement was made. Certainly the clothing of those who have been saved should send a different message than those who are in their sins. That's why we must be careful not to get too caught up in fashion. Because our clothing needs to make a different statement than those who are caught up or who are still in their sins. Another reason, or let's go on here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel." Now, the word one, and notice there is that word "in." You notice it does not say that women adorn themselves with. It wouldn't do any damage if it did say that, but I believe it's more specific. That women adorn themselves in. The word "in" speaks of enclosing, surrounding. The word translated "apparel," women adorn themselves, and let's just skip the word "modest" for now, that women adorn themselves in apparel. Even without the word "modest," it speaks of modesty, the very word "in." But not only the very word "in," the very word apparel is the Greek word "katstole." And it refers to a loose, flowing outer garment. A loose, that means not tight-fitting, a loose, flowing outer garment. But to get even more specific, he says that they adorn themselves in modest apparel, which, of course, is a further description of the word apparel. that we are to adorn, again, going back to the meaning, to garnish. It speaks of well-ordered in a moral sense. Modest apparel is well-ordered apparel. Well-ordered in a modest sense. That is, that which is not forward. Modest apparel is not forward. If it's forward, it ceases to be modest. Modest apparel does not help to advance sexual desires in the opposite sex. Someone will say automatically, well, if they have sexual desires, that's their problem. Yes, it is their problem. But it's also your problem if you have dressed in a way that would promote sexual desires. Now, I realize that for some, they could see someone in a gunny sack and still lust. Quite aware of that. That's their problem then. But if it's forward, if the clothing helps to advance sexual desires, it is not modest. It must be free to be modest. It must be free from anything suggestive. It must be free from anything suggestive of sexual impurity. Free of it. If it is not free of it, it is not modest. Now, the word modest speaks of reverence, that which is circumspect, careful. Again, to adorn is to have an order, carefully ordered. And it's done on purpose. To dress modestly is done on purpose. And to dress immodestly is done on purpose also. So, it speaks of reverence, that which is circumspect. It is synonymous with chastity, purity of manners. So, modest clothing is chaste, it is pure. Which goes back to verse 8 again, in like manner also. So the rule for regulating the arrangement, and that's what it means to adorn, to arrange, better be careful how you arrange your clothing. The rule for the arrangement of one's clothing, to be modest, it must be consistent with pure and reverent conduct. It must be consistent with reverence. Again, the word adorn means to arrange in such a way as to beautify. Again, to garnish. We see in Matthew, they garnished the graves. They beautified the graves. To adorn is to arrange in such a way as to beautify. What does that mean? Well, it means that it is to dress with class. What people need to understand is that styles come and go, but class is always in fashion. Always is. It's never out of fashion. It's always appropriate. And what is class? Modest apparel. If it's not modest apparel, it's not classy. It's sinful. It's filthy. Modest apparel then beautifies. You know, a lot of people, they will wear the attire of the harlot, and they think in doing so that beautifies them. Just the opposite. Makes them shameful. Makes them shameful. You know what beautifies? Modest apparel. It's to garnish. It's to trim. It beautifies. Dress for both men and women should be in line with the biblical principles of modesty. We cannot let Hollywood or anyone else determine what constitutes modest, because they're way off. God has set principles for modesty. So in order to be modest apparel, it must be modest in God's eyes. That is, it must be in accord with God's purpose of clothing. It must be in accord with God's purpose of clothing. If it is not in accord with God's purpose of clothing, it is not modest. It has to be in accord with God's purpose for clothing. And I believe there's a lot of people today that don't understand the purpose of clothing. But the Bible is very plain. Prior to the entrance of sin, nakedness was unshameful. Notice in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. This is before sin, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. There was no shame in nakedness before sin. But when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, nakedness became shameful. Notice Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. In the eyes of them, sin has entered in. Both were opened, and they knew in a shameful way that they were naked. So now nakedness, it's not a beautiful thing. It's a shameful thing. Why? Because of sin. Because of man's sinful nature. Nakedness is shameful. In Revelation 3 and verse 18, though speaking spiritually, there is a biblical principle revealed concerning clothing. That thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. The shame of thy nakedness. God made the body, the human body, beautiful, and I believe that it ought to be displayed, is what many will say. Well, you see, sin changed that. Nakedness is shameful. It's a shameful thing. In Ezekiel 16, verse 37, Ezekiel 16, verse 37, again, showing that nakedness is shameful. Ezekiel 16, verse 37. Behold, therefore I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them thou hast loved with all them that thou hast hated. I will even gather them around about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. That's speaking of shame. The book of Nahum, chapter 3, book of Nahum, chapter 3, verse 5. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness. That's not something that was looked forward to. It was a shameful, that was a shameful thing. And the kingdoms thy shame. Now realize he's talking spiritually, but there's a biblical principle there. Nakedness is a shameful thing. So that brings us to what is naked. What is naked? Well, according to Scripture, one does not have to be stark naked or stripped bare to be naked. That's made plain throughout Scriptures. Now, that's what man thinks. Man thinks that, you know, to be naked, you have to be stark naked, stripped bare. But that's not what the Bible says. You don't have to be stark naked or stripped bare to be shamefully naked. Notice again, Adam and Eve, because they were now ashamed, and in an attempt to hide their nakedness, Genesis 3 verse 7 says that they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. This was the invention of clothing. This was fallen man's invention of clothing. Now you read Genesis 3 and verse 7. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And you can read it 150 times, and it never ever says that they were clothed in those fig leaves. Never does it say that. It just says that they made themselves aprons. Why doesn't it say, obviously they were wearing them, why does it not say that they were clothed? Because God did not consider them clothed. Notice, those sewn together fig leaves did not adequately cover their nakedness. And it did not satisfy God. So the first so-called clothing ever invented by man was deemed inadequate by God. Now, keeping in mind Genesis 3, verse 7, nowhere does it say that they were clothed. They were wearing the fig leaves, but they were not clothed. They were still naked. Now, keeping that in mind, go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. And Adam also and his wife, unto Adam also and his wife, did the Lord God make coats. Adam and Eve made fig leaves, or sewed fig leaves together. The Lord made coats. Big difference between a coat and a fig leaf. He made coats of skins, and then what does it say? And clothed them. Why did it not say that when Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together, that they were clothed? Because they weren't. They were still naked. But when God made them coats of skin, He clothed. What does that mean? It means He covered them. He robed them. If clothes do not cover, it's not really clothing. It's nakedness. God's intent, from Genesis 3, verse 21, God's intent for clothing was to cover and was to hide nakedness. It was to cover and to hide nakedness. Now again, clothing cannot be modest if it does not coincide with God's purpose of clothing. And God's purpose of clothing is to cover and to hide nakedness. So if it does not cover, if it does not hide nakedness, it is immodest. Now, it's important to realize that what man considers nakedness and what God considers nakedness are two entirely different things. In the book of Leviticus, and I can see right now we're going over, but in the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, but there's no stopping point here. Leviticus 18, well, we'll stop, but in Leviticus 18, begin. You go down through verse 6, all the way down through about verse 19. I wish we had time to read all these verses, but we're not going to take the time. But you see the phrase, uncover their nakedness. Verse 7, the nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. And it goes on, verse 8, verse 9. And then you come down to verse 11, the nakedness of thy father's wife, and it just continues on. Verse 12, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness. And then mentions a specific individual. Verse 13, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness. Mentions a specific individual. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness. Verse 14. Verse 15, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness. Verse 16, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness. Verse 17, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness. Those verses are very plain. And you can run around your... You say, well, I can run around my house how I please. Not if your children's around. That's very plain. Thou shalt not uncover thy nakedness. The message is, nakedness is to be covered. God went to great lengths to make sure that nakedness was covered. Why? Because nakedness is shameful. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. God would not allow the people to climb the steps to His altar. Why? Because it might reveal nakedness. Exodus 20. Verse 26, neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. Nakedness was such a shame that God went to great lengths, again in giving the details of the clothing, and also about don't even go up the stairs, because it might uncover nakedness. In Exodus 28, in regard to the uncovering of nakedness, in verse 42, concerning the garments of the priest, we read, and thou shalt make them linen breeches, or as they would say down south, breeches, to cover. Here's God's purpose. Why make linen breeches? To cover their nakedness. And then he describes it. From the loins, that's the hips and buttocks, even unto the thighs. So that means from the loins to the thighs, they shall reach. That means here in Exodus 28 and verse 42 that God established a proper length. They shall reach. Then notice in Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47. Verses 2 and verse 3. Familiar passage of Scripture. Take the millstones, grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. And if you make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. The revealing of the thigh was nakedness. God's purpose of clothing is to cover, to conceal, not to reveal. When people walk around in public and their clothes reveal, you almost want to say to them, ma'am, sir, do you not know the purpose of clothing? Clothing is to conceal, not to reveal. And if it reveals, then it is not modest. I don't care. It can be a shirt that a man is wearing, or a shirt that a woman is wearing, or a pair of pants that a man is wearing. If they have holes in it where you can see skin, that's nakedness. That's nakedness. That is revealing and not concealing. When you wear shirts with all those little holes, that's nakedness. That is not concealing. That is revealing. Do we not understand the purpose of clothing? It cannot be modest if it does not coincide with God's purpose of clothing. So the Bible does give us a standard for covering the body. And anything that fails to cover nakedness does not meet the biblical principle of modesty. In fact, anything that fails to cover is immodest. It is immodest. Clothes are for a covering. That includes whether one is standing, sitting, bending, or walking. Does not matter. Well, my skirt is long enough when I'm standing, but if I bend, it isn't. Then it's not modest. Or when I'm sitting, then it's not modest. The Bible does not say it is modest as long as you're standing. It doesn't matter if you're sitting. Or it doesn't matter if you're bending. The Bible doesn't say that. Modest apparel applies to standing, sitting, bending, walking, or anything else you might do. It applies to all positions. Clothing that exposes is not modest because it does not meet the biblical purpose of clothing, or God's purpose of clothing, which is to cover. Anything that fails to cover what God calls nakedness is immodest. Now, we live in an overly sexed culture, and clothing that exposes areas of the body that normally draw attention from the opposite sex does not constitute modest apparel. This would include anything that is not long enough to cover the thigh, hip to knee. If it does not cover that, it's not long enough. If it does not come high enough, it's not modest. Low-cut tops that expose bosom. Short tops that do not cover the midriff does not constitute modest dress. Clothing is to conceal, not to reveal. Clothing that does not cover front and back does not constitute modest dress. Clothing that is sheer, exposing areas of the body that normally draw attention from the opposite sex, does not constitute modest dress. Clothing that does not cover undergarments, underwear, to put it in plain English, is not modest. Do not people understand underwear? It is not to be revealed. These men walking around and you... I don't want to get off on that. Limited exposure is very seductive. Very seductive to men. Limited exposure is really more seductive to men than if a woman was stark naked. Limited exposure. And therefore, because limited exposure is very seductive, the fashion industry constantly looks for ways to maximize sexual appeal by subtle exposure. Whether it's subtle exposure, whatever, exposure is nakedness. Exposure is shame. And again, it applies whether we're standing, sitting, bending, or walking. Clothing that reveals is not modest. Modest apparel not only covers the skin, but also covers the form of the body. You may cover your skin, but if your clothes are too tight, it does not cover the form. Therefore, it reveals. That's not the purpose of clothing. The purpose of clothing is to conceal. Clothes that outline the shape of the body are sensual. Do not constitute modest dress. Clothes that reveal areas of the body that normally draw attention from the opposite sex does not constitute modest dress. Clothing that calls attention to the body is not modest. To have let a word printed out on your rear end is not modest. Why? Because it draws attention. You do not wear anything that says something that you don't want people to read. And if you put it on your rear end, that tells me, hey everybody, look. So if it draws attention to areas of the body that normally draw attention from the opposite sex, it cannot be modest. So from all this, we see that modest apparel does not exploit in any way bodily features. Modest apparel does not draw attention to the body. Again, we said that clothing speaks, it sends a message. Modest apparel does not say sex. Modest apparel does not say pride. Again, the clothes of a child of God should proclaim Christianity. Appropriate. Discretion. A child of God should want to dress modestly. A child of God should take great care to ensure that they are modest in their dress. They should take great care that they do not tempt others to sin by their clothing. Many women dress seductively in order to lure a man. And you'll lure one. But it won't be the one you want to marry, I guarantee you that. Oh, you'll lure one. Why? Because men basically by nature are pigs. And you'll lure one. When men see a woman dressed immodestly, they tend to think of them as objects rather than people. And women need to ask themselves, is that how I want to be thought of? Then he goes on in 1 Timothy and says that they are to adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. You see, modesty is not first an issue of clothing. Modesty is first and primarily an issue of the heart, and that's what's being addressed here. Modest apparel with shamefacedness. Shamefacedness is a moral feeling, a reverence, an awe, and a respect. From this, we see that the reason that some are not concerned about modest apparel is because they're not shamefacedness. They're not moral. They're not moral individuals. Goes on to say and sobriety, which means good judgment. Someone puts on a pair of clothes that reveal, that speaks loud and clear, that that person does not have good judgment. And with sobriety. Good judgment. Sobriety also means self-control. In other words, it signifies a command or a dominion over bodily and fleshly passions. When someone dresses in an immodest way, there's nothing sober about it. Sobriety includes or exercises restraint. It is the condition of the heart that causes one to draw away from trespassing the boundaries of propriety. Again, God's people should not even want to get close to the line of immodesty. Should not even want to get close to the line of immodesty. So the words modest, shamefacedness, and sobriety. This is to be shown in our clothing, but it also speaks of a condition of the heart. And they are elements of Christian character. And they are all linked to how we dress. Those who have these elements, modesty, shamefacedness, and sobriety, will not push the limits. They do not want to promote that which is impure. They do not want to be ashamed. So from all of this, we see that Christian modesty is a reverence and an awe of God that displays itself in humility and purity, genuine love to God, and it will manifest itself even in how one dresses. Going on, it says, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. These words do not teach that women are not to wear jewelry or to fix their hair. But it does say that such is to be done in modesty. In modesty. And it is to have an air of seriousness about the way it is presented. It's to be well ordered. It's not to be forward. Modest apparel, again, the broiding of hair here speaks of the imitating of the noble. And modest apparel does not imitate the outrageous dress and hairstyles of the famous and immoral. It does not imitate those things. Modest apparel is not extravagant. It's not flamboyant. It's not prideful. Our clothing is never to say sex, pride, or money, and a list can go on. But again, our clothing is to say saved. Then notice verse 10, and we'll stop. He states the negative, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but on the contrary, which becometh, that is, our apparel, ought to be becoming of those who profess godliness. Apparel ought to be in the interest of godliness. Again, godliness is respect and devotion toward God. And clothing ought to be in the interest of respect and devotion to God. It is a reverence for God's character. It is a reverence for God's laws. It is an attitude that proceeds from a consciousness of God. Anyone who purposely puts on immodest apparel, they stand in front of the mirror and they go out that way, was not conscious of God when they got dressed. If God matters to them, they were not conscious of God. They disregarded God. And therefore, we need to ask ourselves when we're shopping, why am I buying this? And we need to ask ourselves when we're dressing, why am I putting this on? And you have to be honest. Godliness is an awareness of God. It means that our heart is occupied with God. Now, I know this is going to make some folks angry, but you're never going to convince me that one's heart is occupied with God when they go out of the house naked. I don't believe it. Their heart's occupied, all right, but it's not occupied with God. It's occupied with the sensual. God's people are to live the pages of the Bible. And a part of that is modest apparel. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, in our soul. God is to be glorified. Colossians 3, verse 17, we're to do everything unto the Lord. And that includes our clothing. So 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 and 10, is very, very plain. It does matter. It does matter how one dresses. It won't save your soul, but I believe even lost man should dress right. Someone who isn't saved should dress right, and there are lost people that dress better than God's people. Their clothing doesn't make them spiritual. Their clothing certainly doesn't save their soul. It just shows they got more sense than those who profess to be the Lord's. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.